We begin with some good news. After a big increase the week before, state health officials have reported a 20% drop in COVID-19 particles found in wastewater last week, a sign that the latest COVID spike might be abating. The state did see another jump in hospitalizations, though, back up to their highest level since late February. Less good news on the medical front. Concern is still rising over monkeypox as case numbers continue to rise across the country. The state health department is holding an online town hall on the virus tonight at 6:30. You can get the link to it by visiting NCDHHS on Twitter. Back to good news. Now in transportation, AAA reported the average gas price in North Carolina dropped below $4 a gallon yesterday for the first time since early May. Still closer to $4.20 a gallon in Orange and Durham counties, but if you want cheaper options, it's below $4 now in Alamance, Chatham, and Wake. And speaking of transportation, some more good news locally. Chapel Hill officials say the repaving of West Franklin Street is now complete. Still a few more steps to go in the overall project, though, so expect continued night work on West Franklin for the next 2 weeks. Now down to Chatham County, where health officials unveiled the annual Chatham County Community Assessment earlier this month, this time with a key focus on mental health. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell with more on that.
The Chatham Health Department gathered information for the community report by teaming up with several groups to conduct surveys and pull from existing U.S. Census data. Maya Fulton Black, a population health data scientist with the health department, was the primary editor on the report. She recently spoke with 97.9 The Hill about the variety of reasons the county collects and shares the information.
We do this in collaboration with the Chatham Health Alliance, as well as Chatham Hospital. So for us, it fulfills the needs assessment requirement for Chatham Hospital, as well as the accreditation requirements for local health departments. And it's also really influential for the planning and implementation of Chatham Health Alliance's work. They use the assessment to establish the priorities for health and well-being in the county for the next 3 years.
While the health department and Chatham Health Alliance team up for the State of the County Health Report in years between surveys, the community assessment aims to dive further into data and broader topics that affect one's health. The project also examines more health inequities between groups and shares ways for community members to take action. Fulton Black said to her there were not many surprises in this report's results, especially the impact of systemic racism and marginalization on people's health or access to care. The assessment said Black and Latinx residents reported being nearly 4 times more likely to experience poverty in 2020 compared to the county's white residents, which Fulton Black said is consistent with past studies.
We see that resulting in all of the topics that we've covered in the survey. So that's definitely something that is worrisome and that we put a lot of effort into addressing.
Since the last Chatham County community assessment, Fulton Black said one area stood out in its decline.
One thing that we saw was some changes in mental health, particularly among youth, but also in the adults that we surveyed. A lot of our mental health indicators across different questions, including stress and anxiety, a lot of those went down, and unfortunately that is something that we're seeing at the state and at the national level as well.
Zachary Horner, who is the public information officer for the Chatham County Public Health Department, is helping share the assessment across the county's various communication platforms. He said one of his biggest personal takeaways is residents' lack of or struggle over health care.
According to our community survey, 30.9% of Chatham County residents reported facing some kind of barrier to accessing healthcare last year. So that could be finances, that could be not having a way to get there, that could be finding a health provider that takes their insurance. I think a lot of us take for granted that there are some people who that is a serious issue that they're facing in their lives. This is something that really continues to stick with me.
Now that the assessment is published, Horner said a critical next step is making sure the community can engage with the information. He said the health department has been regularly sharing some of their findings on social media and also trying to focus on a few topics at a time.
We try to combine some data points into singular reports or fact sheets. So we have two right now on our website. So one is on gun violence and safety, and the other is on substance use. So pulling out those and really making them a little more digestible.
Fulton Black said her hope is Chatham County residents see their experiences represented in the community assessment, while also learning about others' perspectives and issues.
And we hope that this will encourage people to get involved in their community and use this information to make a difference.
A link to the 2021 Chatham County Community Assessment can be found on chapelboro.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Mental health is a growing concern nationwide, particularly for teens and young adults in the aftermath of the COVID pandemic. What can parents do to keep track of their kids' mental health? Duke psychiatrist Dr. Nathan Copeland addressed that question at a recent online panel.
I think for parents, there have always been topics that have been difficult for us to bring up. Addressing certain things that our kids are observing in the world, addressing certain things that our kids might be experiencing or topics that we know are important. Frequently, I think that's our own challenge as individuals to discuss these very sensitive topics. It is okay to be uncomfortable asking those questions if you're asking it from a place that is checking in on how your teenager is doing. It can still be difficult to bring up those things because sometimes what if they tell us something we don't want to know? And that's scary. That is scary. As parents, we do lots of things that can sometimes feel scary. And being able to say, okay, I'm uncomfortable asking this question, but I need to. I need to check in on my kid. I think having that just in the back of your mind and not worrying so much about, am I doing it wrong? Am I uncomfortable? But this is something that I know I need to do. Or maybe my kid says something, and gosh, I sure feel uncomfortable bringing this up, but let me still do it. Because just bringing it out into the open, right? Being able to use words to highlight that, to at least start that conversation, to start that space is what is important for parents. It's what's important for us in the entire community. To be able to start those conversations.
That's Duke Child and Adolescent Psychiatrist Nathan Copeland there. Get more coverage of that panel and the national mental health crisis in general by visiting our website, chapelboro.com. Turning back to Chapel Hill now, where officials yesterday reported the town has received a $375,000 grant from the Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina Foundation to fund the town's Building Integrated Communities Initiative, an effort launched 3 years ago to support residents of Chapel Hill who are immigrants and refugees. On campus, UNC reported some positive news yesterday, too. The university got $1.2 billion in research funding over the last fiscal year, the third year in a row that UNC topped the billion-dollar mark. Nearly half of that money came from the National Institutes of Health. No surprise, UNC is a center for medical research, particularly around COVID-19. In legal news, Republican state lawmakers are heading to federal court to try to overturn an earlier court ruling striking down a ban on abortions after 20 weeks. That move comes after State Attorney General Josh Stein said his office would not be taking that step. The earlier court ruling was based on Roe v. Wade, which the U.S. Supreme Court overturned earlier this summer. In local courts, News and Observer reporting a guilty plea yesterday for the grandson of Mike Krzyzewski in a DWI case from November in Orange County. Former Duke player Michael Savarino completed 24 hours of community service. He's got one more court date set for January. Finally, to Carrboro, where it's an exciting time for the Art Center, which is about to break ground next month on their new location on Roberson Street. The Art Center has also just welcomed a new executive director, Jenny Schultz-Thomas, now in her third week on the job. I spoke with Schultz-Thomas yesterday about her background and her vision for the Art Center.
I'm back in the Triangle. Was here 10 years before my wife and I moved to Colorado. Both of our kids were born here. My wife is a teacher. I've been a faith leader, you know, since I was 16 years old. But for me right now, the arts, I am on my third year getting my DMIN at Emory, focusing on maker culture and how community groups and organizations can learn a lot about makers and how we bring sort of this energy to synthesize around like creating and making the future that we want and creating equal access for opportunities. Like who actually can make and create access to their own future, right? So you think of maker spaces like STEM and technology, but it's also making music, it's making sort of creative dance. I mean, the Art Center in Carrboro are the original makers.
What are folks going to see at the Art Center out of this?
Oh, exciting. So we're renovating that space, mm-hmm. You know, that old UNC building. It gives us more space for classes. So if you know the Art Center, you know that ceramics and dance and theater and music are sort of the heart of what makes the Arts Center vibrant. But we're looking to take this partnership, hopefully with UNC and their Be a Maker spaces, and kind of incorporate STEAM Lab, STEM, Fab, Tech, anything, you name it, and put into the hands of our children, those on the margins who maybe don't have access to these kind of tools, and to create maybe an opportunity for a career path, right? It's sort of trade school, back to if you can make it and invent it, you can be it. It's also going to give us this really amazing sort of black box theater opportunity. It's like 120 some capacity. There's so much opportunity to create and to make something new.
That's Jenny Schultz-Thomas speaking there. She says the Arts Center will break ground on the Roberson Street location within the next couple weeks, with plans to open sometime next spring. And visit our website, chapelboro.com, for more local news, including photos of a vehicle fire that shut down part of Willow Drive yesterday afternoon. It is time now for sports, brought to this hour by Rosewood Wealth Management. Preseason honors coming in for several Tar Heel football stars, beginning with junior Josh Downs. He's been named preseason All-ACC by the conference, both as a wide receiver and as a return specialist. And senior punter Ben Kiernan has been named to the watch list for this year's Ray Guy Award, which goes to the top college punter in the nation. Carolina season begins on August 27th, a month from yesterday, at home against Florida A&M. Elsewhere, a big honor for eight current and former Tar Heel field hockey stars, all named to the U.S. Women's National Team. Incoming freshmen Riley Heck and Ashley Sessa joined fellow Tar Heels Aaron Mattson, Meredith Shoulder, and Peyton Wirth on the roster, along with UNC alums Ashley Hoffman, Lauren Moyer, and Cassie Sumfest. They're not the only Tar Heels earning honors. Congrats to the UNC baseball team, just honored for their work in the classroom with an Academic Excellence Award by the American Baseball Coaches Association. Not to be outdone, the Tar Heel women's lacrosse team has just been named as an academic honor squad by the Intercollegiate Women's Lacrosse Coaches Association. And the Durham Bulls got a win last night, 11-4 over Lehigh Valley. That evens their series at one game apiece. That series continues tonight in Durham. First pitch at 6:35.